Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. This program is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. Your host is Pastor Jack Schumann, pastor of the Emmanuel Free Reformed Church of Abbotsford, British Columbia. And now, here is Pastor Jack Schumann.
Let us turn together to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12. We read the verses 38 to 40, and these words also form our text. Then he, that is Jesus, said to them in his teaching, "Beware of the scribes who desire to go around in long robes, love greetings in the marketplaces, the best seats in the synagogues, and the best places at feasts, who devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. These will receive greater condemnation." So far, the reading of the Word of God. May the Lord bless the reading and preaching of His Word. Dear friends, there are many things in life that we should be aware of. We should be aware of vicious dogs. We should be aware of an approaching cliff. We should be aware of high voltage wires, especially when driving a dump truck. We should be aware of liquids that contain poison. If we're not aware of these things, they may harm or even kill us. But there's something we need to be aware of more than anything else, including the things that I have just mentioned. Now, what is that? It is religious hypocrisy. And I say we need to be aware of this more than anything else because if we are not careful, religious hypocrisy will damn our souls to hell. And this is precisely what the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us in our text. It was only a few days before the Lord Jesus was led away to be crucified. Jesus was in the temple teaching the people. And while he was there, he pronounced a series of woes on the Jewish religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees. And we have a complete list of these woes in Matthew chapter 23. There were seven of them in all. Mark in his gospel singles out only one of these woes as a representative sample. And it's recorded in the words we have just read together, Mark 12, the verses 38 to 40. And in these particular verses, Jesus focuses on the scribes. Previously, in chapter 12, verses 35 to 37, Jesus warned his hearers against the teaching of the scribes. But now he warns them, and by extension all of us, against the practice of the scribes, specifically the sin of religious hypocrisy. And so with this in mind and God's help, let's consider the words of our text under this theme, the religious hypocrisy of the scribes condemned. And we'll consider, first of all, the evidence of their hypocrisy, and secondly, the consequence of their hypocrisy. Jesus' public ministry was fast coming to a close. Soon he would be led away to be crucified. But before that happened, he had one more thing to say about the scribes of his day. It was a kind of a parting shot, we could say. In fact, it was the last thing that Jesus said publicly. And what was it? Mark tells us, "Beware of the scribes." Who were the scribes? Well, the scribes were experts in the law. They devoted all of their time to reading and studying and interpreting and explaining the scriptures. Only their understanding of the scriptures was faulty and incomplete. And we considered an example of that last week. Then we saw that the scribes taught rightly that the Messiah would be the son of David. But they did not understand that he would also be his Lord, even though David says as much in Psalm 110, verse 1. Nor did they recognize that he himself was the promised Messiah. And Jesus knew this. And as a result, he warned his hearers to beware of. The Greek word there means to watch out for, to be on guard against the scribes. Now, this is not the first time that Jesus spoke out against the scribes. He did so back in Mark 7, the verses 6 to 8, and there he called them hypocrites, who honored God with their lips, but whose hearts were far from him, who worshipped God in vain, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. In Mark 12, the parable of the vine dressers, he lumped them together with their forefathers who abused and killed the prophets. But this is the first time that Jesus warns the people about them directly. For the first time, Jesus tells the crowds to beware of the scribes. Now, why does he say that? He says that because the scribes were religious hypocrites. Now, the word hypocrite is derived from a Greek word meaning to wear a mask. It's a term that originates in the Greek theater. In ancient Greece, actors would wear a mask in order to represent different characters. Their real face was behind the mask. What people saw was the mask of the character they were portraying. Well, that's a hypocrite. A hypocrite is someone who literally wears a mask. He projects a certain image to the public which is not true to reality. It is a mere show. It is a facade. And such were the scribes. They were hypocrites. Now, to substantiate that claim, Jesus goes on to list six things that the scribes did that proved their hypocrisy. First of all, he mentions how they desired to go around in long robes. Apparently, the scribes in Jesus' day wore these long robes, probably to distinguish them from other men and to show how important they were. In fact, he says they desired to wear these robes, and the word desire means to relish, to take delight in. They relished, they took delight in wearing their long robes in public. Secondly, Jesus says they loved to be greeted in the marketplaces. Now, although the Greek word used here can refer to a friendly, casual form of greeting, in this context, it refers to something more formal. And that's clear from the parallel account in Matthew 23, verse 7. There, Jesus speaks of how the scribes love greetings in the marketplaces and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. The word rabbi means great one. The scribes love to be called rabbi, especially twice in a row, which only emphasized their importance. Thirdly, Jesus says they loved the best seats in the synagogues. Now, in the average synagogue in Jesus' day, and facing the congregation, was a bench where the special guests normally sat. That bench was normally located in front of the platform from which the sacred scrolls of the Old Testament were read and where prayer was offered, kind of like our pulpits. Anyone sitting on that particular bench would be noticed by the whole congregation, and that's exactly what the scribes enjoyed. Fourthly, he says, they loved the best places at feasts. In Jesus' day, where one sat in relation to the host at a banquet was very important. The closer you were to the host, the more important you were. And the person who sat on the right side of the host was more important than the person who sat on his left. And the scribes constantly vied for those choice seats. The closer they could sit to the host, the better, because the more prominence they would receive. Fifthly, Jesus says they devoured widows' houses. Now, this was clear proof of their hypocrisy. In Jesus' day, experts in the law could take no pay for their service. He was supposed to have a trade by which he earned his daily bread, which explains why the Apostle Paul was a tent maker. But some of the scribes managed to convince certain people, especially some gullible widows, that there was no higher duty and privilege than to support a rabbi, and that to do so would surely secure God's favor and blessing. In some cases, they even siphoned off so much money that they literally drained some widows of their entire livelihood. That was a form of extortion. And what is more, it was against the law of Moses, which repeatedly warns against taking advantage of widows and orphans and foreigners. Sixthly and lastly, the scribes for a pretense, Jesus says. That means for a show, for the sake of appearances. They made long prayers. Now, long prayers as such are not wrong. At times, Jesus himself prayed all night long. What Jesus was condemning was long prayers designed to impress people. Jesus warned against those kinds of prayers in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. And there Jesus says, "When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." So rather than pray openly, Jesus advises to pray secretly and in private. He says, "But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." Furthermore, Jesus went on to say that when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. Jesus taught these things, but the scribes did not listen to him. They liked their long prayers because they served to impress other people. And so the scribes were guilty of religious hypocrisy. On the outside, they appeared to be very holy, very pious, very sincere, but on the inside, they were evil and corrupt. And Jesus speaks of that in the parallel passage in Matthew 23. And there he's quoted as saying, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." Well, such were the scribes. They were whitewashed tombs. Well, my friends, what about you today? How do you stand before God? Are any of you guilty of religious hypocrisy? Well, at first we might say no, we might deny this. After all, we could say we don't attach much importance to long flowing robes and special forms of greeting, the best places at banquets and in religious gatherings and so on. That's all very true. And yet all of us are guilty of this sin, aren't we? At least to one degree or another. Maybe you say, how? In what way? How does religious hypocrisy manifest itself among Christians today? Well, first of all, it manifests itself in the desire for prominence. Wasn't that exactly the problem of the scribes? They always wanted to be prominent. That's why they wore the long robes. That's why they vied for the prominent seats in the synagogue and at banquets. That's why they loved to hear special greetings in the marketplaces, because they wanted to be prominent and enjoy the recognition, the esteem, and the honor of men. And you know, there are still people like that in the church today. Yes, in every church there are people who want to be prominent. They want to get on the most important committees. They want to serve in leadership positions in the church. They want to be seen with the most important and influential people, or the people that they think are the most important and influential. They want people to notice the things that they do, appreciate them, respect them, esteem them highly, acknowledge their importance, and affirm their worth and their value. Does that describe you today? Are you one who loves to be prominent, even a little bit? My friend, such an attitude has no place in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, in the church of Christ, it ought to be the case that those who are the least prominent should be the most highly esteemed. In Luke 9, verse 48, Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever receives this little child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For he who is least among you all will be great." And in Matthew 23, verse 11, he said, "But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Or friend, is that true for you today? Are you someone who serves others? Who's willing always to be the least? The Scottish commentator William Barclay tells the story of a monk in the old days, a very holy man who was sent by the bishop to take up office as abbot in a certain monastery. And he looked so humble that the staff at the monastery thought that he was someone from a nearby village offering his services. And so they put him to work in the kitchen, washing dishes. And without saying a word, the monk went and did as he was told. And he did many other menial tasks as well. Well, a few days later, the bishop arrived to see how he was getting on. And it was only then that the mistake was discovered, and the monk took up his rightful position as abbot. The point is, in a healthy church, those who desire prominence should be the ones who do not get it, and those who do not desire it should. Prominence in the church should be given to those who are the least, to those who serve rather than to those who desire or even demand to be served. My friend, does that describe you today? Secondly, religious hypocrisy manifests itself in the attempt to use religion as a means of enriching ourselves. Now, that too was the problem with the scribes, wasn't it? They were materialists. They loved money, and they were prepared to do anything in order to get it, even devour the incomes of poor widows. Does that kind of thing still happen today? Yes, it does. Certain so-called televangelists are masters of this practice. And they'll go on television and they'll beg you for money in any amount. And they'll promise to pray for you. And they'll tell you that God will bless you. And they will tell all kinds of wonderful stories about how people are being won for Christ and influenced through their ministry. And they will put you on a kind of a guilt trip if you choose not to give. And millions upon millions of people fall for this lie time and time and time again, making them filthy rich. Such people are no better than the scribes. They're prepared to do anything, say anything, and take advantage of anyone in order to make themselves rich. Thirdly, religious hypocrisy manifests itself in projecting the mere appearance of godliness. The scribes did this when they prayed long prayers. By doing that, they were trying to impress people with their piety and godliness, but they were not genuine or sincere. They prayed not as an act of devotion and love to God, but in order to earn the respect and the praise of men. And my friends, we can be guilty of the same thing, can't we? We can do that by living one way on Sunday and another way during the week. Being religious on Sunday and not during the week. Not allowing our religion to permeate every aspect of our lives, our work life, our family life, our marriage life, our school life, our social life, and so on. We do this by not worshiping God with our whole heart, not singing, not listening to the sermon, not engaging ourselves in prayer, not contributing thankfully and joyfully and liberally to the offering, but just going through the motions of worship. We do this by attending church, being actively involved in the life and the ministry of the church, faithfully attending the Lord's Supper, and doing everything that a church member is supposed to do when in the meantime we are at odds with a brother or sister in the congregation and you've done nothing to resolve it. Or you're living in sin. And when we do any or all of these things, my friend, we are guilty of religious hypocrisy. But the danger of religious hypocrisy is especially real for office bearers, for ministers, elders, and deacons of the church. Dear brothers, and I include myself in this, do you ever think that you are better than those who are not in office? Do you enjoy being in office because of the honor or the prominence you receive? Do you ever strive to gain advantage over another office bearer in order to make yourself look better? Do you make decisions based on principle or simply in order to win the praise of certain people in the congregation? Do you serve the congregation unselfishly without expecting to get anything in return? Oh, we can so easily fall into the trap of the scribes, can we not? We can so easily do our work as office bearers with one eye to God and one eye to me and to other men, rather than, as ought to be the case, with both eyes to God. And when we do that, we are no better than the scribes. We are religious hypocrites. Are you such a hypocrite? Oh, must we not confess that there's a bit of the religious hypocrite in every one of us? Even those who have been truly converted to God. There is in me. And I'm sure you will admit there is in you as well. And my friends, that's a serious matter. For Jesus hates religious hypocrisy, and he declares that there will be serious consequences for those who do not repent of it. And that brings me to my second point. Having told his hearers to beware of the scribes, Jesus goes on to explain why. He says, these will receive greater condemnation. Now, Jesus here is referring, of course, to the condemnation of hell. He's telling us that religious hypocrites will be condemned to everlasting hellfire. But he's saying even more than that. He's saying that religious hypocrites will receive greater condemnation in hell. In fact, their condemnation will be greater than those who were not religious at all. And that is taught not only here but elsewhere. When Jesus did great miracles in Chorazin and Bethsaida, and the people did not repent, Jesus said it would be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon, those wicked Canaanite cities, in the day of judgment than for them. And he said the same about the people of Capernaum. Why? Because cities like Tyre and Sidon and Capernaum and Sodom, rather, were never visited by Jesus. They did not have the privilege of hearing his teaching and witnessing his miracles, but the people of Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum most certainly did. And yet they did not believe. And therefore they will receive the greater condemnation. And so we're reminded here that there are various degrees of punishment in hell. Those who have heard and did not believe will receive greater punishment than those who did not hear at all. Now, to be sure, everyone in hell will suffer punishment to an everlasting eternity. But of those who have heard and did not believe, those who merely pretended to believe, religious hypocrites, they will receive greater punishment than those who did not pretend at all. And Jesus knows that. And that's why he says to the people, beware of the scribes. He could have said, beware of the scribe in your own heart. If there is even a hint of religious hypocrisy in your heart and in your life, confess it now before the Lord and repent of it before it gains mastery over you and you perish in hell. So how can we avoid the sin of religious hypocrisy? Oh, my friends, we must look to Christ and strive to imitate him. No one exposes our hypocrisy more than he does. He does this objectively by his own example. If there ever was a man who was completely free of hypocrisy, it was the Lord Jesus. Whatever he said and did was perfectly in accord with the will of God. So much so that God on two occasions declared, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." My friend, if you want to know what it means to live before the Lord in perfection and uprightness without any single trace of hypocrisy, then we need to study the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the exact opposite of the scribes. There was no unrighteousness in him at all. But our Lord also exposes our hypocrisy subjectively by his Holy Spirit. When the Lord, through his Holy Spirit, begins to work in our hearts, he exposes us for who and what we are by nature, sinners under the wrath and condemnation of God. We may be very religious, But if our religion does not proceed from the heart, he reveals that to us too. He shows us that all of our righteousnesses, including our religious devotion, are as filthy rags before the Lord. He strips us bare before his holy sight. He brings us to an end of ourselves and our own resources. He humbles us and makes us poor and needy and helpless. But he doesn't leave us there. Oh, thanks be to God, no. For having humbled us, he also exalts us. He opens our eyes to see that he is all that we need. We need his perfect sacrifice to atone for our sins, and his perfect righteousness to enable us to stand before God and live, both of which he bestows freely the moment we believe on his name. And then he also fills us with his Holy Spirit, by whose power we are enabled to put sin to death and walk uprightly without hypocrisy before him all the days of our life. And so I appeal to you religious hypocrites today. Look to Christ. He's all you need. He and he alone can cleanse you from your hypocrisy. He and he alone can cause you to stand before God and live. He and he alone can deliver you not only from the greater condemnation, but from all condemnation. For when we are in Christ, there is no condemnation. There's only blessing and peace and joy that will endure to an everlasting eternity. Amen. Dear friends, we always appreciate hearing from our listeners. If you were blessed by or have a comment on the message you've heard today, we'd very much appreciate hearing from you. Our mailing address is Banner of Truth, 3386 Mount Lehman Road. Lehman is spelled L-E-H-M-A-N, and that's in Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. If you would like to listen to the message you've just heard again, or if you would like more information about our program, including how to contact us and how to listen to other messages on this program, please visit our website at banneroftruthradio.com. That's all one word, banneroftruthradio.com. Support for this program is provided by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. For more information about our churches, including where you can find a church nearest you, please visit our denominational website at www.frcna.org. That's www.frcna.org. Your financial support for this program is welcome and deeply appreciated. If the Lord has placed in your heart a desire to help us offset the costs of broadcasting this program on this station, you can send us a check in any amount. Again, our mailing address is 3386 Mount Lehman Road, L-E-H-M-A-N, Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. Or you can visit the donation section of our webpage. Our webpage again is banneroftruthradio.com. Please remember that the Lord would have his people come together to worship him. And for that reason, we urge you not to use this or any other radio program as a substitute for being an active, contributing member of a faithful, Bible-believing church. Thank you for listening, and now until next week, may the Lord be with you all.